Chapter 9. Anakin rubs at his arm, wincing a little. There had been a lot of injections, just like the doctor had promised. And then they had to keep him for a bit to say they didn't have a bad reaction to anything, which he didn't. Now, even with the smear of Bacta on it, the injection point sort of aches, a pulsing, present pain. But now he won't get sick. At least, not with some diseases. Dr. Zray had shown him the list of the stuff the vaccinations he got protected him against. And a lot of them sounded completely unheard of to him. The others... He'd had rotten pox when he'd been a kid. He'd been sick for a month. And he thinks he heard his mother say something about the red malady, a sickness she got at some point when he'd been really young. She'd been terrified that he'd get it too. But it was something that only adults got, apparently. There'd been stuff on that list he'd heard about too. Stuff his friends had gotten. Stuff some of his friends had died of. In the slave quarters, getting sick badly usually meant one thing. Now, Anakin wouldn't. He got vaccinated. He was insured. At least for the next 5 years. Some of the stuff apparently lasted longer, but some of it had to be renewed in time. He'd have to get more vaccinations to keep himself safe. Still, for 5 years, he was protected. He kind of wishes he could let Mom know about this. She always got so worried about him getting sick. "Does everyone get vaccinated like this?" Anakin asks, as they head back toward the ship. "In the Republic, yes," Qui-Gon says, while reading the package of the medicine Anakin had been given. He has to take one every day for a month, because he's been exposed to stuff and has to get it out of his system. "Whatever they have the money, anyway," Kenobi says with a shrug. "Here you get them for free because we're part of the Republic healthcare system, technically. In places it doesn't cover you to have to pay for it. And the further out from the galactic core you go, the more expensive everything is." "Why doesn't it cover every place?" Anakin asks, frowning. "Shouldn't everyone get medicine?" "Local governments, politics, money," Kenobi says. "The galaxy is complicated," Qui-Gon says with a sigh, and pushes the package into his pocket. "And the systems that govern it are even more so." "AKA local governments, politics, money," Kenobi rolls his eyes. "Everything has a cost. Not everyone wants to pay. And the RHCS costs a lot of money in the worlds further out. Somewhere in Coruscant, someone decided the costs outweigh the benefits. So, no medicine for everyone." Anakin frowns up at them. They feel tense and awkward. And they're very pointedly not looking at each other. "Do they have a fight?" Rubbing at his shoulder again, Anakin looks up ahead. "That sucks," he says. Qui-Gon sighs and rubs a hand over his eyes. "Yeah, it does," he agrees wearily. They don't talk much more the entire way back to the ship, where Kenobi hesitates a moment, and then stomps off to a lab. Anakin can't tell if he's mad or not, but he gets the impression that if Kenobi could, he'd probably slam the door on his way. "Is he mad at you?" Anakin asks quietly, looking up at Qui-Gon. "I'm not entirely sure," Qui-Gon admits, and shakes his head. "Never you mind that, honey. I'll talk it through with him later." Anakin frowns a little. "Not his business, then. Okay," he thinks, and shrugs his shoulders. "Well, when you do, say thank you for me for the vaccinations, okay? He says. I don't think I said it.
I did, but I will tell him again, I promise.
Qui-Gon sighs and pats his shoulder.
Shall we go have a look at your fish?
Kenobi stays in the lab for the rest of the evening, only coming out to go to the fresher and then going right back in. It's making the droids agitated too, Anakin notes. The hovering monitor droids swing and whirl in the air in distress, and every once in a while they peek in on the lab and then speed off hurriedly. So yeah, Kenobi must be mad about something. Qui-Gon just won't say what.
Not that Anakin can't guess.
When Kenobi finally comes out properly, it's late in the evening and time to eat.
It's awkward to watch him and Qui-Gon sidestep around each other as they make something to eat. The resulting food is good, but eating is just awful because of how tense everyone is. How Qui-Gon keeps looking at Kenobi, all sort of apologetic. Well, Kenobi doesn't look his way, and
He kind of wants to know more about the healthcare stuff, and why exactly it's too expensive to cover every place.
Well, he can figure out why. The Outer Rim is the Outer Rim.
But he still wants to know.
But he doesn't feel like asking right now.
The silence is terrible.
But breaking it would probably be worse. In the end, he eats his food as fast as he can and then announces, I'm tired. Can I go to bed early, please?
Yes, of course, Qui-Gon says, and smiles awkwardly at him.
Go right ahead.
Anakin nods, and after putting his plate into the cleaner, he heads off, privately wishing he had moved the fish bowl into his cabin before. It sits on the kitchen table, and he kind of feels sorry for his fish, having to endure Qui-Gon and Kenobi being all weird. After a visit to the fresher to wash his teeth, Anakin heads to his cabin and sits on the lower bunk bed, rubbing at his shoulder. He imagines he can feel the vaccines inside him, flowing in his blood, going everywhere, covering him in an invisible protective shield. That's probably not how it works at all, but he likes the idea. He's insured. And not in a way that makes company pay for him if he happens to die or anything, but against stuff that might hurt him while he is still alive. He's protected now.
Sighing, Anakin lays back on the bunk bed and stretches out. How much would the vaccine he got cost on Tatooine? Probably more than they made in a year working in Watto's shop. Probably more than they'd ever owned.
It's so unfair that core worlds get all this stuff. Water and plants and medicine. Tatooine is supposed to be a Republic planet too, isn't it? And slavery is illegal in the Republic too. But who the hell cares on or about Tatooine?
Anakin frowns at the bottom of the middle bunk bed, and then turns to lie on his side to look at the plant wall across from the beds. It's still kind of early. The lights are still on, and the ship hasn't yet switched over to night cycle. He still doesn't know all the names of the stuff on the wall, but there's stuff here that's growing in the kitchen, too, and he's seen Kenobi snip stuff off of them to throw into the food. The ones with the big, heart-shaped leaves. They taste weird, but good. But the sharp, wrinkly-looking leaves are his favorite. Qui-Gon put some of them into Anakin's tea that morning, and they taste kind of cool, even in a warm drink.
He wants to know what Qui-Gon and Kenobi are talking about.
They got weird while he was with the doctor, so maybe they're talking about him. Did he do something wrong? Maybe the medicine thing was a bother for them. especially since he had got given medicine, and maybe that's a nuisance. Anakin eyes the plants for a moment. He probably shouldn't. Qui-Gon wouldn't approve. Kenobi probably wouldn't care, though. And if it's about him, doesn't he have the right to know? After a moment of staring at the plants, Anakin sits up. He'll just have a little listen. And if it's not about him, then he won't listen in. That'd be okay, right? Just checking? Right. Anakin takes a breath and then stares hard at the direction of the kitchen, narrowing his eyes and concentrating so hard that his vision starts to darken around the edges. It doesn't always work. Sometimes, no matter how hard he tries, he can't get it to happen. But sometimes, if he does it just right, when he concentrates just hard enough, sure, it's none of my damn business, Kenobi's voice murmurs, first faint, but then growing slightly stronger. You asked, Qui-Gon answers. Yeah, well, I don't care about being privy to your damn pity party, Kenobi answers. And there's a terrible clanging noise, which takes Anakin a moment to identify as him pushing his chair back, hard enough to bang the chair legs against the floor. You don't see yourself fit as a teacher? Fine, whatever. You might want to tell the kid that before you leave him on the curb, too. Anakin's heart skips a beat, and his vision clears for a moment before he concentrates quickly again, staring at the wall between him and the two Jedi hard enough to nearly pierce right through it. I'm not going to, Qui-Gon says, and sighs. It sounds annoyed. I can't until you know someone's going to pick up your damn slack for you. Yeah, okay, Kenobi answers. He sounds weird, Anakin thinks. Not angry, though the words are angry. He doesn't feel angry either, just sort of... Kenobi, it would have been nice to know back then, you know? Before I spent, I don't even know how many years trying to live up to standards, which apparently don't even exist, Kenobi says. It's all complete bullshit. But it would have been easier to live with than... You're an aggressive, proud child, Obi-Wan Kenobi. The Agri-Corps will be good for you. And from what I've seen, they were, Qui-Gon says, a little firmer now. You seem to have done well for yourself. And that makes it okay, Kenobi demands. Do you have any idea how hard I had to work? No, I don't, Qui-Gon says, frustrated. I'm sure it's been harder than I can imagine. But as I look at you now, I know you're doing better now than you would be had you been my student all these years. That's... Kenobi starts, then lets out a frustrated breath. How the hell would you know that? Qui-Gon scoffs, and judging by the sound of it, he too pushes his chair back. Anakin winces a little, but doesn't let his concentration break. Listening, eavesdropping, harder than he's ever tried to before. Because every time I've taught, I've made things objectively worse for my student. You mean Xanatos? Anakin frowns. That's a new name for him. Him and everyone else I've ever tried to teach. Do you know how Jedi Masters are generally conducted into taking Padawan learners? I think at this point it's fucking obvious I don't, and never will, Kenobi mutters, but he sounds suspicious. When possible, a new master is paired with a senior Padawan. It's proven to be benefit for both. The master gets a student who is already mostly trained, and thus isn't as hard work as a wholly new Padawan would be, while the senior Padawan gets experience working with Jedi other than his master. My first student was like that. Timor was already 20 and highly trained when he came to me. Kenobi says nothing, and feeling weirdly detached from his own body, Anakin tugs his legs up and hugs them for warmth, frowning. His real master was a more casual brand of Jedi. She let Feymore learn what he wanted to learn at his own pace. Feymore was a good student by all accounts, an excellent young Jedi, but not very ordered. He was often late, got lost in research binges, and he wasn't terribly keen on lightsaber practice, a field in which I considered myself an expert in. He was attentive, but sloppy, I felt. Oh boy, Kenobi mutters. Qui-Gon hums in coolly amused agreement. So I thought, in my great wisdom, to instill some discipline into his life, to expound on the importance of being on time and doing your duty as it is ordered. I don't necessarily consider myself pedantic when it comes to being organized, but in face of his more easygoing ways, I thought it would be of benefit to him to learn a bit of structure. There's a moment of silence. I was unnecessarily strict on him, Qui-Gon admits quietly. It hadn't been that long since I gained my title as master, and his easygoing nature seemed like he did not take my rank seriously. In part, perhaps, I thought I had to prove my rank. There's a breath. He endured my tutelage for 2 years before attaining knighthood. By that time, I think the damage I did to him was nearly permanent. What happened to him? Kenobi asks quietly. He went from a very outgoing and easy-mannered young man to a withdrawn and sullen knight who can't work well with anyone, said Qui-Gon. And I went from a somewhat uncertain new master to thinking I'd had great success with him, that I'd installed a much-needed sense of duty and discipline into his casual ways, and thus made him a much better knight than he would have otherwise been. As far as I was concerned, I was on the fast track to becoming one of the better teachers in the Order. Well, that's just wonderful, Kenobi mutters. And then there was Zanatos, and he was my student from the start. I searched him, found him. On my word, he was admitted into the Order, Qui-Gon says, and scoffs. He was everything anyone would like in a student. Brilliant, strong, driven to succeed. Knight material, if I ever, in my height of experience and wisdom, had seen one. The moment talks began of him becoming old enough to become a Padawan learner, I stepped up and made my claim. Judging by the end of it, I can already tell how well that went, Kenobi scoffs. 12 years, I told Zanatos, Qui-Gon says, with every intention of making him the best knight of the Order. I was sure I'd succeed, too, that I was succeeding. I didn't need to be strict with Zanatos. He was strict enough on himself. And he was so determined to become the best. I encouraged it. And in the meanwhile, made myself wholly blind to all of his faults. In a way, I most likely encouraged each and every one of them. And then he fell, Kenobi says. And Anakin lifts his head a little, blinking with surprise. There were other reasons for that. I allowed him to maintain contact with his family outside the Order, and there were incidents. It's relevant, but I don't feel like going over it. Had I been a better teacher, ironically, had I been stricter with Zanatos, perhaps the temptation wouldn't have been able to take root. But yes, Qui-Gon says wearily, he fell to the dark side. There's a moment of silence. How long ago was it before we met? 9 years, Qui-Gon admits.
9?
Kenobi asks, with something like disbelief. 9 years before me, that makes you... You were, what, in your 30s when you took Xanatos as your Padawan?
29, Qui-Gon agrees. I was 26 when I was given my title as master.
That's pretty young, isn't it? Kenobi says quietly.
Hence my inflated sense of ego and arrogance, Qui-Gon scoffs. After Xanatos, I spent years trying to figure out what I did wrong. In those years, I watched Fëanor grow increasingly cold and aloof in the Order, spiraling down on the path I set him on. In those years, I occasionally was pushed into teaching classes, and I was never anyone's favorite teacher. Except perhaps when it came to lightsaber practice. A friend of mine told me I'm either too strict or too forgiving. There's no in-between. And I have found it to be true.
Kenobi says nothing, and Qui-Gon sighs.
Why I didn't take you as my Padawan learner, he says. It's because you reminded me of the worst parts in Xanatos and the best parts in Fëanor. Most young initiates do. They're by nature excitable and driven to prove themselves, and I react very poorly to it. And I knew how I'd treat you. I knew I'd be strict with you. I'd be severe. I knew I could never fully trust you. That wasn't ever on you, but it was still a reality you would have had to live with as my Padawan. And I know neither you nor any other student they tried to push at me deserves such treatment from one who is supposed to teach them.
There's a longer silence now, tense and uneasy.
I'm sorry it's not a satisfying answer, but it is as close to the truth as I can get. I am not a good teacher, Qui-Gon says simply. The man you are right now, I could have never taught you to be like this. In all likelihood, I would have only ruined all potential you ever had. Or I would have driven you into a fall. In either case, you wouldn't be like this.
And what, precisely, do you think I am right now?
Kenobi asks, his voice strange, strained.
A better teacher than I am by far, and much likely a much wiser man as well.
Anakin waits, holding his breath, to hear what Kenobi answers. His mind is reeling with what he's heard. He'd completely forgotten he wasn't supposed to keep on listening if it wasn't about him, which it isn't. But it also kind of is, because Qui-Gon is supposed to be his teacher. At least, that's what they're hoping will happen. But if Qui-Gon thinks he's a bad one, then it matters to him too, right? In the end, Kenobi doesn't say anything. The sound of his boots banging on metal crating echoes in the ship as he walks back into the labs. He feels agitated and confused and shaken. Qui-Gon feels alone. Anakin blinks and shakes his head to get his hearing back into his body, feeling a little lightheaded for a moment before his senses settle. He stares for a moment at the wall, without trying to stare right through it this time, before looking away at the plants instead. There's water bubbling in the pipes, which sounds very loud all of a sudden. Anakin doesn't know what to do. What should he do? Should he do anything? He doesn't know. Turns out, he doesn't know anything at all. Outside his cabin, He can hear Qui-Gon heading into his. For the first time, Anakin can hear him closing the door between himself and the rest of the ship. A little later, he can feel Qui-Gon falling into meditation. Anakin hugs himself, frowning at the plants, feeling confused and lost. All of a sudden, the Verdant feels very cold.